And get right into our sermon tonight. I got him. I want to get right into our sermon tonight. We're going to be talking about the preparing for power, getting ready for anointing. Now, I waited till now to tell the kids our word of the week for a reason. Because if I gave it to you before, you would already have a bunch of marks on your page. Because my word of the week this week for our kids is fasting. And I figured if I did that before I made that announcement, their papers would be full already. So kids and adults, as of right this second, I don't have a prize, but I love the fact that it's teaching our kids to take notes. I'm going to tell you, I've been amazed at how much I've seen notes coming from our kids. They're paying attention. So I want you to keep track of the count of how many times I say fasting in this sermon tonight. And before I get into this, and I am preaching now, but I want to remind you with this prayer, this is a church-wide deal. Sister Marilyn's already talked to the kids this morning about fasting and giving up sometimes their video games or other things other than food. So parents, I want you to know your kids are going to be looking to fast these 10 days. And they're going to want to be a part of this. And you need to have them with you when you pray in the prayer time. Because I'm telling you, we don't need another move. We don't need another microwave move reheating some of those old folks that just keep getting reheated. We need some fire coming from the young ones. Because that's what's going to keep us going. You see, many of us, we've been there, and I've been there, done that, seen this. Some of these kids, they haven't seen it yet. And we need the fire in their heart, and we need the anointing in them. So make sure they're with you when you're praying, and talk about what we're going to fast together as a family, and let God move in that way. Tonight I'm going to be talking about getting ready for this anointing. Now, I'm not really calling it a series, although most of you know everything I do winds up being a series. I'm not really calling this a series, but tonight I'm going to be talking about preparing and getting ready for the anointing. Next Sunday night, I'm going to be doing water baptism. We're going to be talking about that water baptism, that life-giving peace, that life-giving power that's symbolized by water baptism. And then the next Sunday night, we're going to be baptizing, if you will, in oil, baptizing in the anointing of God. And so the next 3 weeks on Sunday nights is sort of going to bleed together here as we talk about getting to a place where we walk in the power of God's anointing. Now, we get there through Bible reading, through prayer, through fasting, through making sure that we have put everything else to the side and we are ready for what God has in front of us. I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening. Amen, amen, amen. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 4 is where we want to go to. Acts 1, 4. Reading from the New Living Translation, this is what the Word of the Lord says. It says, once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water. But in a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles times, and they are not for you to know, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now, and I just thank you and I praise you for your strength. I thank you and I praise you for the anointing. Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given me for tonight, for this season, for this church, for this time, and for this group of people. And Lord, I ask that you would move in my spirit and allow me to preach this message with the anointing and the power with which you gave it to me. Lord, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me tell you just a little history lesson here, and I'm not talking about biblical history. I'm talking about Pastor Tommy history. And we're not going to go way back into the annals of time. We're going to talk about this week. See, last Monday I went to Sykeston and helped Mom and Dad move into their apartment. And Tuesday I came back and or finished helping them move and came back. And Wednesday we moved ourselves in from our house into another house. And Wednesday night we had church. And Thursday I had that day where I kept saying, I need to go do that in a minute. Anybody else ever had one of those days? I need to go do that in a minute. And the minutes disappeared. Friday was about getting things. Friday we had the pulled pork sale for the worship team and getting things finalized and ready for Saturday. And all day yesterday we had our bike show and the pulled pork sale and a bike ride. And then we had a worship service at 6 o'clock and had a great time. And then this morning we came in and had our Biker Sunday and had a wonderful service this morning and God moved. Tell you all that to tell you, I got home this afternoon after lunch. At lunch I looked over at Pastor Brian, Pastor Ann, and I said, you guys have any idea what I'm preaching tonight? And they said, no. Man, I was hoping somebody knew. I was really needing somebody to have the answer to that question. And I went home and I'm physically tired and so I sat down in the recliner and did what every person that sits in the recliner at my house does and went to sleep. And I woke up and all through my sleep I went to sleep saying, God, what do you want me to preach? And all through my sleep I just was trying. Even in my dreams, I was preaching sermons, but I couldn't hear them. All through my dreams, I was sharing, and I knew God had something. But you know, sometimes God will give me a dream, and I'll preach the sermon, and I'll wake up and have to write the outline down pretty quick. Well, I knew I was preaching, but I didn't know the outline. And I woke up this afternoon, and I said, God, I got to know what I'm doing. And I've been thinking a lot about this prayer and fasting time. And God began to open my heart. And I was actually in another passage of Scripture. It was going to talk about resist the devil and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. And I was going to talk about, you know, submitting to God and resisting the devil as we get ready to draw close to him. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden it was like a lightning bolt from heaven. God said, go back to where it started. Why are you doing 10 days of prayer and fasting? You're doing 10 days of prayer and fasting because of the 10 days between the ascension and Pentecost. That's the timing of this. Go back and show that it's the power that we're looking for. And so I begin to go back to this, and I got to be honest with you. This sermon flowed into my heart in a matter of about 10 or 15 minutes. Just boom, 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 boom. And as fast as I could type it, it was there. And fast as I could get the slides and things like that, it was just there. And Pastor, why do you tell us this? I tell you this because I want you to understand God is giving a word. This is not just something I pulled out of the hat. This, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I went to sleep, I pulled the old blue notebook out. Now, the old blue notebook is the original handwritten sermons that I preached 30 years ago, and I was flipping through it thinking, well, maybe there's something in here. And nothing in there jumped out to me because God said, I got a word. See, I'm not pulling something out of the past here tonight. I'm grabbing something that God has put into my heart, and I want to share with you. I want us to be prepared for power. I want us to get ready for anointing. I got news for you. When we begin to prepare ourselves. See, preparing yourself takes work. You know, it would be great if we could just go to an event and it just happens. That doesn't work. It would be great if we could just come to church and church just happen. That don't work either. As a minister, you got to study. I've shared the story before, shared the story many times. Second sermon I preached, I was all fired up about getting to go preach, and I had preached my first sermon in my dad's pulpit on a Sunday morning. There was 150 people there, and a few months later, a pastor of a little church in Geneva, Ohio, had called and said, I heard you started preaching. I'm like, yes, sir. He goes, I want you to come preach for me. And I looked at all the state papers, and they only ran about 25, and I thought, preached 25, I preached 150. And I didn't study. I read my scripture, and I had a couple loose notes, but I didn't study. I had not approved, shown myself approved. And I got up in that pulpit, and I was fired up, and I preached my sermon 3 times in 5 minutes. The whole thing, completely through, 3 times in 5 minutes. And I was like, man, I'm done. And what God told me in the altar was, your job is not just to get up in front of people. Your job is to study and prepare yourself. If you will prepare yourself, I will bless you. God can't bless what we don't prepare. How many of you ever go into your freezer and grab a hunk of meat and just throw it on the table? Start carving it. No, you got to cook it. And even cooking it, it's better if you take time to prepare it. I've taken steaks out of the freezer, thawed them out, throw them on the grill, and ate them. But the ones that I take out early enough and thaw them, and I put a nice marinade on them, and I season them right, man, those are the steaks that are good because I prepared it. But yet somehow in the church, we think that we don't need to prepare anything. We think that we can just come in and get it. We can just come in and be blessed, come in and have power. I got news for you. Your power, your blessing, the anointing, the breaking of the shackles on your life become greater when you start preparing your heart, when you start preparing yourself. And so I want us to be prepared. Again, how do you do that? Well, we read the Bible. We pray. We fast. We spend time separating ourselves. We mold our heart. That's why we're going to do 10 days of prayer and fasting. So that we can get our hearts, number one, molded through prayer to hear the word. Molded through fasting so that we have put down those things that maintain power in our life and we have given God the strength over them. We prepare our hearts so that when God is ready to move, we hear Him and we respond to Him. Because I'm telling you, when you've been praying, you hear God better. When you've been fasting, you come very few times when you've been fasting will you ever tell God, God, I don't know if I can do that because it'll cost me this. Because when you've been fasting, you've already given up this. You've given it up in anticipation of what God wants to replace it with. And so that's sort of what I want to talk about tonight is this preparation that we're getting ready to go into. Now, the first thing that I want to show you is that according to the scripture here, Jesus says, it's coming. He was eating with them one night. And he says, listen, y'all stay in Jerusalem. I believe Jesus was Southern. He said, y'all stay in Jerusalem. Y'all stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. You stay in Jerusalem until God gives you the gift that He has promised you. Truly, John baptized in water, but in just a few more days, fire. You've been hearing about this. You've been talking about this. You've heard me teach about it. You've prayed. You've followed. Thank you. See, some of us, we've seen so many things. We've seen it ebb and we've seen it. We've been happy and we've been sad and we've been mad. My mama used to say, somebody get mad, she goes, well, they can get glad in the same clothes they got mad in. And sounds like that's not an original. Anyway, let me tell you something. And I used to think that meant they can just get over it pretty quick. And that's what it meant. But I'm going to tell you, in the same clothes that I'm wearing right now, I've had days of celebration. And I've had days of sadness. I've had anger. I've had forgiveness. See, it's not about the shell that I'm in. In this same body, in the same mind, I've had all these things. But what I want to do is I want to get myself prepared so that when it gets here, I'm ready for what God has. You see, I am afraid that too many times we spend our energy protecting what we had instead of getting ready for what we're getting. Let me tell you something. Think about who we're talking about. We're talking about the disciples. They walked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus. They saw. And he says, in 10 days, something's about to happen. Man, their mind was on how do we keep you here? We're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. And God said, you need to quit worrying about protecting what you've known, which is my presence, and get ready for what you're about to get, which is the presence of the Holy Ghost. You see, we gotta quit worrying about what we've had. I'm telling you, the move you had last week, last month, last year, last decade, last century, because we're all old enough here, most of us, that we were alive in the last century, that move was great, but you can't live on that move, and God did not intend that to be your only move. God said, Rob Pulsey says, get ready, get ready, get ready. I got news for you. We got to get ready. We have to prepare ourselves. We have to get into the Word. We have to get into prayer. Some of us, I believe this church reads the Bible about as much as any church I've ever known. But most of us still don't read the Bible enough. We do great Bible studies on Wednesday night. I'm loving our Bible studies on Wednesday night. My only concern is that, and I'm glad at least people are reading for the Bible study, but I bet you that half of our church only reads for the Bible study. They don't read beyond that. They don't read in addition to that. Oh, I got to read for the Wednesday night Bible study. And the way we're going, you only got to read a chapter a week. Sometimes half a chapter gets you covered. Sister Ann spends so much time talking that we can't get any scriptures covered. Well, we all know the truth. It's actually Brother Mike that keeps us slowed down. But we got to read. We need to be living in the Word. I'm talking to you, and I know not all of you come on Wednesday night, but our Wednesday night class, if all we're reading is for that Wednesday night class, man, we're getting some great truth, but we're missing a lot. There's so much more out there that we need to be soaking up. We need to be praying. It's coming. It's coming. You see, we read for a Bible study or we read for a Sunday school class because we know we got to get it ready before we get there because it's coming. I'm telling you, there's a power coming and you got to get ready for it. And so reading is one. The other one is prayer. Oh, you let the doctor tell you you got a test next Tuesday morning. You'll learn how to pray between now and then. We're going to do surgery next week. Lord, help me, Jesus. Some of my kids here, Teacher tells you there's a test next week, you're going to tell them, no, there's not. We're in summer break. If you hear there's a test, you're going to learn to pray. And we pray for events. We pray because things are happening. Oh, but what would happen when we understand that the power of God is coming and all we got to do is get on our knees and start getting ourselves primed up, getting ourselves ready. Into my ear. Mm. You want to have revival in the church? Quit trying to get God to move with a yell and say, God, I want to be close enough I can hear a whisper. Mm. See, it's one thing to hear God say, hey, you! Straighten up! You can hear that. But what happened? And God says, Ann, I've got a touch for you. Sarah, there's an anointing you don't know about. And all of a sudden, we sit and we go, what was that? Where did that come from? We hear it if we're close. We get close by priming ourselves and preparing ourselves with prayer. And when we know it's coming, when we know that it's going to be there, we want to position ourselves so that we can hear it. I want to hear what he says. When we know it's coming, we want to get rid of the other stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, if I told you that I knew without a shadow of a doubt, unless I don't even go there, let's say that God announced it from heaven. Attention, earthlings. This is your creator. At 6 p.m. on June the 4th, the trumpet is going to sound, and I'm going to come back. There will be a test at the pearly gate to see how well you know the Bible. We will check the prayer logs to make sure you've been praying. We want to make sure that nothing is in front of God.
Man, I'll fast food. I'll fast Apple TV. I'll fast my phone. I'll fast anything so that I'm ready when God said he was coming back. But what happens when God says in just a few more days, I'm going to give you something you haven't even experienced yet? It's so powerful, I can't even tell you what it is. You wouldn't understand it anyway. You can't comprehend what is about to happen in your life. Can by faith we set ourselves apart and say, okay, God, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to start fasting. I'm going to start I want to get everything out of the way. I don't want food to be more important than what you've got. I don't want my phone to be more important than what you got. I don't want TV to be more important than what you got. I don't want a motorcycle or a car or a job or... Can I go
where I don't want to go? You know what's keeping a lot of Christians out of being ready for God right now? And this is not something you can fast. But there are a lot of Christians that put their kids and their grandkids in front of God. And your kids and your grandkids, once they get in front of God, number one, you can't teach them. You can't train them. You can't prepare them. Because all they see is a warped view of faith. Because anytime you put anything in front of God, you've messed up the equation. But if we know it's coming, that's when we start pulling things back. Oh, if that announcement came from heaven, I bet I could have a 14-day revival and y'all would be here every night. But let me tell you something. Jesus has already told them in just a few more days,
What you've known was great. What you known saved you. What you known, what you've known has turned you around. I even was baptized in water by John because I needed to be. It was powerful. It's something you need. But in just a few days, you're going to get something that's completely different. You're going to get something that's going to give you more strength and more power and more anointing. And all it takes to get ready for it is you got to read your word, you got to pray, you got to fast. And then you'll be ready. He tells them it's coming. Then as I read on, he said, listen, I'm not talking about a baptism of water that you've known. I'm talking about a baptism of fire. I'm talking about a baptism of fire. Man, this keeps coming up. Consumption. Fire consumes. Fire consumes. I said it a few weeks ago. The only thing that's keeping you from what you want to be spiritually in relationship to God is the things that you have not allowed God's fire to consume in your life. The only things keeping you from walking in victory, the only things keeping you from walking in freedom are those things that you have not allowed God's fire to burn out. When you want to purify something, you heat it. When you want to purify something, you burn out the garbage. You go through the fire. I'm going to tell you, we're going to go through the fire. We need God. We need God to come in and purify our heart. I don't want a water-washed faith. I want a fire-purified faith. I can wash my hands in water and they can still be dirty. I crank that up to some hot water. Almost scald my hands and it cleans them. I can put something through a water and much debris will still come through, but you put it through a fire and it'll purify it. I don't want a water wash faith. Oh, I praise God for water baptism next week. I believe in it. I think it's important. But I'm telling you, there's more than that. And we've got to be ready for the fire to consume us. Because when the fire consumes us, everything in our life starts changing. People start looking at us going, hey, you're weird. You're strange. You take a lot of risks, don't you? You see, we become different because we've been burned. We've been through the fire, consumed. Now, let me tell you what this is not about. This is not about the power of authority. One of the big problems in the church. Well, bless God, I got the power of the Spirit. I'm in charge. No! You missed it. You need to go let some other stuff get burned out. The disciples looked at him and said, hey, is it time now for you to come and restore your kingdom? Are you going to go sit on the throne? You know what they wanted? They wanted him to relieve them from their, they were under captivity to the Romans. Are you going to come and set up the throne and we'll serve you? And here's the other thing in their head. Guess who's going to be important if Jesus is king? Peter and John and James. Even Bartholomew, he'll have a cabinet post. Had a friend of mine back several years ago, 27 years ago, worked on a gubernatorial campaign for a governor in Oklahoma, for a candidate in Oklahoma for governor. And I asked him, I said, what connects you? He goes, well, I've known this guy for a long time. I believe in what he says. I said, well, he was retiring from the military. I said, so what's your plans after the election? He goes, well, if we win, I'm a regional campaign manager. If we win, I'll get a cabinet post. He said, he'll take care of me because I helped get him elected. And he was counting on that if his guy won, he'd get a job. Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your view, his guy didn't win. So he had to do something else. The disciples We're thinking, if he sets up his throne, Peter's like, I'm going to be secretary of the fight because I like to fight. And they all had their areas. Oh, Matthew, I used to be a tax collector. Now I'll be secretary of finance. Because by this time, Judas was already gone, so the spot was wide open. And all of a sudden, they wanted to know if this thing that was right around the corner was about their authority. Church, let me give you a hint. Quit worrying about earthly authority. Quit worrying about earthly authority. Authority doesn't work the same in God's kingdom as it does here. He says over and over, if you want to be the greatest, you got to become the least. If you want to be the leader, you got to be the servant. It doesn't work the same. And too many times in the modern church, in our church, we say, oh, it's not. You see, when we start talking about it, it's not about the power of authority. We're talking about those things that we pull out. That's why fasting is so big a part of this next 10 days. Tell you a few things about the fasting that's coming up. Number one, I'm asking you to join together. I'm not asking you what you're doing. You know what the Bible says about fasting? Don't tell anybody what's going on. Wash your face. Don't walk around going, I can't eat. The pastor told me I couldn't eat. I'm sacrificing for Jesus because I'm such a strong Christian. Yeah. I can see some of you now. Facebook post. I will not be on Facebook for the next 10 days because I have been called to a sacred fast. I will only communicate with God via text messages. You will not see any more Facebook posts from me. Please remember, I'll come back when I'm more holy than everybody else. And if you need me, text me. Let me tell you something. Some of you are thinking, now, you know, if I fast Facebook, everybody's going to want to know what's wrong with me. Well, you wait for them to call you. And when they call you, you say, ain't nothing wrong. I just haven't had time. Well, you've been busy? Yeah. I've been praying, and I've been reading my Bible. Because all that time you're supposed to be on Facebook, you're praying and reading your Bible. What happens? You're fasting that meal. Somebody calls and says, hey, you want to go to lunch? No. We're having a fast at the church. So you go out and enjoy the worldly food and I'll sit back at the house and pray for your salvation. No. You know what I've done on many occasions when I was on fast? I went out to eat. Got to the restaurant, ordered me a glass of water. Don't you want any food? No, I'm good today. I'm good today. And I'll sit there in fellowship. Then I go home and pray. Why? Because usually when we go out to eat, it's about the fellowship. It's not about the food. Wash your face. Don't walk around going, I don't know what's going on because I haven't seen TV in a week. I'm going to tell you, most powerful fast I've ever done is, and I've done 10 or 12 of them, is TV fast. I did no TV for a week, and one time for a month, and no TV at all for a month. And you got to know me. I grew up in a house where you walked in the house, and TV was right inside the door, and we turned it on when we walked in the door, and somebody turned it off before we went to bed. We may not have been in the living room, but that TV was on if we were in the house. It's just the way it was. And so it's one of those things, and it's one of my decompressions. I'll put Andy Griffin on and go to sleep. Relax. You know, and you know, whatever it is, when you're fasting, it's not about getting authority in the natural sense. It's about getting power in the supernatural sense. It's not about rising to a place that people go, oh, wow. And we do this. We do this. I know some great preachers that have done 40-day fasts, full food fast for 40 days. And we hear it, we go, oh, they're a mighty man of God, and they are. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not about that. It's about going on that fast. And I'm going to be honest with you. When we get to the end of this fast, we got some things, and with our children, we're wanting to teach them and train them. Sister Marilyn's going to ask them next Sunday, so what are you going to give up? Why is she going to do that? Because she's wanting to teach them. She wants them to have a plan. But I'm going to tell you, for you adults, I'm not going to be up here going, now, what'd you give up? I want to be able to trust you enough between you and God. See, I don't want to hear people like Anna that says she's going to fast for 10 days and she's not going to eat any nuts for 10 days. Now, if you don't know, Sister Anna is violently allergic to nuts. I mean, send her to the hospital. That's not something you need to fast. Yeah. Oh, I fasted nuts for 4 years. Heard the guy one time, he says, I fast 8 hours every day. From 10 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. That's not a fast, folks. When we want to make it more than being about authority, we say, look, I want to give something up, and I want to overpower it. I want to find the strength. Look at this. It's not about authority. It's about the power of witness. Let me tell you some things that will happen when we're fasting and when we're praying. Some things that are going to happen when we're reading the Bible, when we're getting ready for this thing that's coming in just a few days. Some of the things that are going to happen is the devil's going to get scared. Hell's going to shake. Strongholds are going to break. Power is going to fall. Anointing and blessing is going to flow into your life that hasn't flown in your life in a long time. Those are byproducts of prayer and fasting and Bible reading. Strength and authority spiritually is going to be there. It's a byproduct of prayer, fasting, and Bible reading. But it's not why we do it. Because what we're looking for is the power to witness. Jesus' response to them when they said, oh, you're going to set up the kingdom. He says, that's the Father's to figure out those times and dates. That's up to the Father. But you will be endued with power. But you will be endued with power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will run the aisles and speak in tongues and lay hands on people. No, that's not what he said. All that happened. They spoke in tongues. I don't know if they ran the aisles, but, man, every big service like that, somebody's run the aisle. I'm sure somebody went running in the upper room. They preached great sermons. People were healed. People were delivered. But that's not what Jesus said. But you will be endued with power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will build a great ministry and have a great name, and everybody will come to you with their problems. Nope. Oh, I'm sorry. But you will be endued with power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and your church will become the biggest church in 10 counties. No, that's not what it said. That's what it said. You will receive power, but you will be endued with power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and throughout into the ends of the earth, the othermost parts of the earth. All those other things I talked about, speaking in tongues, yeah, you're going to get that. It's part of the power. Anointing, preaching, for many, many ministries, including the one that he talks to there, church growth. Man, you talk about church growth. I can scare y'all to death. What happens if June 4th, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost starts falling and we start spreading the news and 5,000 people come and get saved? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ain't going to go to two services. We're going to go to 15. We'll have three services a day on Saturday and four a day on Sunday and six a day on Monday. And we better get some more workers. My children's director and my worship leader just both had heart attacks. They both just, eyes got real big. Let me tell you something. Those things happen. But that's not why we do it. They're a byproduct of what the power is there to do, which is to help us to witness. You see, when you start praying and you start reading your Bible and you start fasting, all of a sudden you start seeing life through God's eyes. You get, as I said, close enough you hear his whisper, and you're going to be walking through Walmart, minding your own business, and all of a sudden you're going to look up and go, oh, look at that person. And you're going to see the pain in their heart and the pain in their eyes that you had never seen before. And you're going to start going over to them and say, hey, I know I was just walking by and I don't know that I know you. But God just told me I should pray for you. Can I pray for you? Is there something I can pray for you about? And they're going to look at you, and sometimes they're going to go, what is wrong with him? But you'd be amazed at how many times they're going to say, they're going to just begin to cry and say, I don't know why you're asking, but yeah, this is it. I have a dear friend of mine in Ohio, Pastor Rodney Mullins, and he is the best I've ever seen this, and I keep trying to do it, and I'll just be honest, I forget. But every time I've ever been out to eat with Rodney, whether it's a group of us preachers or just me and him, and we can be just laughing and cutting up about all kinds of things, but that waitress comes to our table, and when she brings our food, he'll stop her. Excuse me, or that waiter, excuse me, before you leave, we're about to bless our food. While we're praying, is there anything we can pray for you about? And I've seen someone go, no, I'm good. And I've seen some of them begin to weep standing at our table and say, I need this, this, and this. I was at General Assembly this last summer of 2018. We haven't had summer 2018 yet, have we? Let's try summer of 2016. And I was having lunch with John Haywood, who was here for the bike deal, and another pastor. And I was having a bad day. I was angry. I was mad. I'd had a lot of stuff going on, and I was angry that afternoon. And I normally don't show that to people outside my family. They see me mad a lot, but I normally try to keep that hid. John and this other pastor, they were getting the full show. I was mad. And something clicked in my brain. And when the waitress brought us the food, I remembered Rodney, and I said, hey, we're about to pray. Is there anything we can pray for you about? She goes, yeah, if you'd pray for me, that'd be great. And she told us a few things, and we prayed, and we began to eat. She come back with a ticket that you would write an order on. And she had written two paragraphs of prayer requests. She goes, could you take this with you and pray? I'm sure. Why? Because we ask. Because even in the middle of a bad day I was having, we ask. Sometimes, when you've been in prayer and you've been in fasting and you've been in Bible reading, I'm not saying you're never going to have a bad day. It will happen. But even in the middle of the bad day, when you have prepared yourself, Jesus can whisper in the middle of your anger, pray for them. Okay. Why? Because you heard it. Whether you wanted to or not, you heard it. We're about to go into 10 days of prayer and fasting. Pastor, why are you preaching this on Sunday night and not Sunday morning? I'll tell you why. Sunday morning crowd can't always handle this. They need to. But you're the ones. People come out on Sunday night, Wednesday night. You're the ones. Most of us in this room, we profess Christianity. Notice I didn't say we were Christians. I said we profess it. We think we're okay. Here's my challenge to you. Join me for 10 days of prayer and fasting. Join me. Seek God. Read His Word. You know what's going to happen to some of you? By day 5, you're going to be giving your heart to the Lord. Pastor, are you saying we're not saved? I'm saying some of you got so much junk in your life that when you get some stuff weeded out and you hear God, you're going to find freedom that you haven't had in a long time. And junk doesn't make it to heaven. I'm not asking you to listen to me. I'm asking you to learn to listen to God. I'm asking you to get in this word. Get on your knees and call out to God. And when you pray, number one, don't, now I lay me down to sleep, a bag of peanuts at my feet. If I should die before I wake, give them to my brother Jake. I'm not talking about those prayers we memorized. I'm talking about talking to God. There's somebody in my house I won't call by name that has a very close friend that doesn't live in this town. And I would never point out anybody in my family that's turning red right now either. And my family member wants to be close relationship with this person that lives out of town. I cannot walk in my house right now during waking hours. My son has a phone on his watch. The other day he's walking around, I thought, oh, he's not on the phone. And all of a sudden I hear her say something. I let the cat out of the bag. My family member was walking around, and I heard this female voice. You know why that they talk on the phone so much? And if I'm going to pick on him, let me give him some props. You know one of the things they do every night? They do a Bible study every night over the phone. Half their time on the phone is a Bible study that they do. So I give him some props for that. But you know why he talks to her all the time? Because he wants to get to know her. When we pray, it's about getting to know God. It's about talking to Him. It's not about give me, give me, give me. It's not about thou most gracious, holy, heavenly Father, thou hast reached down from your throne above and kissed the earth beneath, and I have gotten caught in the smack. We're talking about a conversation with God. You know, when I talk to God, I say ain't and y'all. And I talk like I talk. God, don't ruin me. Or as some of you would say, ruin me. When my wife talks to him, she talks to him in a Yankee accent. I talk to him in a Southern accent. He understands them all. But it's that prayer, it's that communication we learn. The Bible reading, where we learn its teachings. Thy word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. It's by reading the word that you realize that some of the things you're doing is wrong. It's not about what I said. When you read the word, you see it's wrong. It's sinful. And the last part of this that we're doing is the fasting. The fasting is about God. There is nothing more important than you. When you don't eat, your body gets hungry and your stomach hurts. And some of us get grouchy. I do. I get grouchy when I don't eat. And we feel that, oh. But when we conquer our body to bring glory to our Father, and we do it in a way that it's just us and Him that knows. God, I'm not trying to get acclaim for this, but I want you to know I'll give it up. I'll give it up for you. You know what they tell me? They tell me that there is now actually, scientists are saying that there is a whatever released in your brain when you use your phone. Serotonin, thank you. It's released in your brain, and that they have become addictive. That we need the phone to trigger this in our brain, and that's why we check our phones so much. And so when we say we're going to fast that part of our life, oh, don't think that's just setting it down. For some people, man, they're going to feel weird. But they conquer their body for Him. We conquer our mind. We use television and radio to give us information and give us knowledge and to give us all these things. But we say, look, I'm going to put that stuff to the side. Because I don't need to know what Trump's latest tweet was today. All I need to know is what your latest word was. I don't have to know what Fox News says about this, that, or the other. What I need to know is what your word says about this, that, or the other. So when we begin to fast, when we begin to lay things to the side, you know what? Every time I fast, especially when I fast things other than food, every time I fast television, or back years ago it was video games. I fasted video games for a while. You know what? I can't fast video games anymore. You know why? I can't remember the last time I played one. I barely even play games on my phone anymore. I play Risk. Play Risk when I'm bored. Play it because I can win all the time. Let me tell you something. When we begin to fast, we figure out things we don't really need anyway. Challenging you to get ready for the anointing. In just a few days, we're going to have a Sunday morning that's going to be powerful. I'm expecting it. But 2 weeks from tonight, just a few more days, we're going to have a service that's going to be life-changing for some people. It's going to turn your world upside down. And it's not just because I'm going to pour oil over your head. I could do that. And if you're not prepared, it's going to be that was cool. Right. But when you've been fasting and praying and reading your Bible for 10 days and you're primed up and you're ready to go and all of a sudden you get the release of something that is out of the norm, where you're expecting and all of a sudden it begins to flow over you, I believe that when the oil flows over you, it is going to release something in your spirit. It's going to break chains off your life, off your family. You're going to begin to have the right words to respond to other people. You're going to have wisdom and understanding. Why? Because it doesn't come from me. It's that you have been prepared. You have prepared yourself for God's anointing. Pastor, you mean we can't get this for 2 weeks? No, that's not what I said. No. I'm going to tell you, I believe that in the upper room, this, that, now you can't prove this in the Bible, so you can't prove I'm wrong. But I believe that in that upper room for 10 days, I believe every day they kept going, man, if this gets any better, we don't know what we're going to do. Man, they did business. They thought they were doing a good job. They elected somebody to take Judas's place. Well, found out that probably should have been Paul. But that's okay. God took care of that himself. And Matty has had his role in his ministry. They were prepared for ministry. You know what they did in that 10 days? They prepared themselves. They got fired up. They were ready. So when the anointing came, man, they didn't have to have the anointing and then have a training conference on how to handle it. They were ready to go. You know why? They've been having church for 10 days. I got news for you. The next 14 days for some of you are going to be the most powerful days in your life. And you're going to think, "Ooh, this is good. I just know what's going to happen." Chris is going to be in here by next Sunday going, "Pastor." I'll be like, "You got another week, boy. Hang on." We get fired up. We get hungry. And it keeps getting better and better and better. But when the day comes, when that day comes, there's going to be an explosion. One more thing and I'm going to close. This sermon is not about 2 weeks from now. What we're preparing ourselves, we're preparing ourselves to be able to do the ministry of Christ, be his witnesses in Chillicothe and Trenton and Missouri and America and around the world, so that that day that is coming just around the corner, when that trumpet sounds, it's not only us that goes, it's everybody that we can take with us that goes. We begin to prepare ourselves. God's not going to wait for a date or a certain service. He wants you to prepare yourself. I want to tell you right now, Sister Marilyn has been preparing herself. She's been praying. She's been doing communion. She's been doing all kinds of things. And this morning, she come over here and she's like, "Ooh, we had church. It's happening." You just seen the start of it, sister. It ain't over yet. I got news for you. When we prepare ourselves, then God can use us. I want you to prepare yourself. I challenge you to join with me in prayer and fasting. Join with me in Bible reading. And see what God does in your life. Two services now. This morning, I made the statement this morning. I prayed in my closing prayer, "God, I can't do this at an altar. I can't. It's not so simple that you can just come to an altar and prepare yourself. You got to do it in your life." Here's what I can do, though. If you're here tonight and you already say, "You know what? I'm not right. I'm not right." See, you got to get in the ballpark before you can prepare yourself to play the game. If you're, I don't know your personal lives. I don't. Some of you, we're all good at putting on the act, but you got hate, you got envy, you got jealousy, you got greed, you got attitudes. Some of you got full-blown sin pent up in your life. All those attitudes are full-blown sin too. Some of you got addictions that nobody knows about. You got things that you try to keep hidden. I'm telling you tonight, if you want to give your heart to the Lord, and you want to join us in this prayer and fasting, God's going to change your life. Oh, Pastor, I ain't coming up there. Well, I tell you what, join us anyway. You pray, fast, and read the Bible, God will take care of it. But I want to give you an opportunity tonight, just real quick, if you're here, on every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't normally do that, but I feel led to do it right now. If you're here tonight, and I promise you, this is going to be a me and you deal, me, you, and God. I'm not sharing this with anybody. I'm not going to have you come to the front tonight, because I want some people that will say, you know what, I need to fix something. And by me, you, and God having this knowledge together, it'll allow me in my time of prayer and fasting to pray strength into your life. It'll show me that you're wanting to make some steps. If you're going to say, Pastor, I need to give my heart to the Lord. We're going to pray the prayer in just a moment. But I need to make some things right. There's things that I know are wrong in my life. I want you to just lift up your hand right now. Is there anyone? Yes, 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 yes. I got hands all around this building. I got news for you, folks. We're going to pray a prayer. We're going to pray a prayer that says, I admit that I have sinned. I believe that Christ died for my sin and rose again on the third day. I confess that He is the Lord of my life. And that prayer, for those of you that raised your hand, those of you that didn't raise your hand, you pray it with us and you believe in your heart. That prayer is the salvation prayer. That's what invites Jesus into your heart. But the thing that comes after A, B, and C is D, which is do it. And do it. It's prayer and fasting. Get in the Word. Start praying. Give something up. And see what God wants to do in your life. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You tonight. And I admit that I have sinned. But Lord, I believe You died for my sin. And You rose again. And tonight I confess that You are the Lord of my life, the master of my destiny. Where You lead, I will follow. And Lord, now with Your help, I will commit myself to prayer and fasting to prepare myself for Your work in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Angels are rejoicing in heaven right now. We had at least four or five people raise their hand tonight. Pastor, you didn't have them come to the front. No, I didn't. Because you know what? It's what's here. It's what's here. Confession of your mouth is important, though. If you raised your hand, you need to find somebody you trust. And you need to go to them and say, hey, I gave my heart to the Lord. That speaking it out, I'm going to change some things in my life. That's going to be powerful in your life. Thank you for being here. Join with me starting this Thursday with prayer. We're going to be praying. I'm going to be praying between 5 and 7. Many of us will be praying in that time frame. So please join with us in prayer. Join with us in fasting, at least a meal a day, something other than food. I do encourage you to fast at least one meal through the week. I think you can do a meal a day. Fasting food is more physical than anything else you'll ever fast, but it's just as powerful to fast some of the other stuff. Sometimes you get more time in prayer because some of us spend more time watching TV than we do eating. And so I want you to be a part of that. Thank you for being here tonight. Shake hands, be friendly, tell somebody you love them. Everybody, God loves them. You're dismissed. You'll have to ask. Michael's got the count. There's no prize, so you can just sort of see where they're at. All
right, what'd you got?
Prayer and fasting. Okay. Well, the reason I say prayer and fasting is